Stephen, a man full of God's grace and God's truth, was chosen as one of the seven men to be able to help wait on tables. But he does more than that. We hear that he is very powerfully proclaiming the word of God, and especially he's speaking to the Sanhedrin, where he's concerned because, well, it seems as if they are worshiping another god. They're worshiping an idol. He spends time talking about the importance of how it is that they're worshiping the wrong temple, a temple made by human hands, rather than that that comes from God, Jesus himself. And he calls them stiff-necked people. To be stiff-necked, in most places in Scripture, when it refers to being stiff-necked, what it's referring to is idol worship, idolatry, a first commandment issue. And so when he's calling them stiff-necked people, what he is saying to them is that they are not worshiping the true God, the only God. And of course, this gets them a little bothered by the fact that this is being said of them. Let me read to you a little bit from Acts of what Stephen's saying. He says, "However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet Isaiah says, heaven is my home, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of a house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things?" Stephen continues. Now listen carefully what he says. He says, "You stiff-necked people," in other words, "you idolaters with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who preceded the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law, that is the word of God, that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it." This is the problem. They are not obeying the word of God. They're not listening to the word of God. They're stiff-necked people, and they are idolaters. Well, at this, the Sanhedrin gets pretty upset and angry. They drag him out of the city, and they stone him to death. Now, you might think, this is kind of odd, maybe you're talking about this today. I mean, in preparation for this day, it's kind of a celebrate day. We're supposed to be joyful and celebrating things, and here we're talking about a man of God who is full of God's grace and truth who is stoned to death. But the theological diploma in which you are about to receive today is very significant. It is significant and different from like the academic one that you'll get later this evening. Because the theological diploma says something. It says something very important that I think relates to the text that I'll be preaching about today. You see, with the theological diploma, it indicates that the faculty have certified you qualified for doing ministry, either as a pastor or a deaconess, and that you have affirmed your acceptance of the Old and the New Testament and the confessions. And this is no small thing. Because you see, Stephen is proclaiming the word of God. He is speaking it very faithfully to those who really don't want to hear it. And as a result, it causes some trouble. But he is constantly pointing to Jesus. Look, look at Jesus. He is the righteous one. Look at Jesus. He is the Savior. Look at Jesus. He is the temple that was destroyed and then raised again 3 days later. Look at Jesus. And that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be pointing people to Jesus, not to yourself, not to some other voice or other thing, but you point them to Jesus. The same way that Steve is doing, he's pointing them to Jesus. Well, as they're hearing this, They're gnashing their teeth. They're grinding their teeth because they're not happy. They're angry and they're livid about hearing this word that's coming from him. And as they're gnashing their teeth, we are told that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, full of God's grace and full of God's truth, looks up to heaven and he sees the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look, behold," he says, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And to this, they put their fingers in their ears so they can't hear anymore, and they begin to shout and scream, listening to their own voices rather than the voice of anyone else. And of course, this is where they drag him out then, and they stone him to death. They didn't want to hear anything else. All they wanted to listen to was something else. And this is the reason why they are stiff-necked and the reason why they are idolaters, because they're worshiping an idol. You know, there may be times when we want to put our fingers in our own ears and not listen to the Word of God. There may be times when it's difficult to listen to the Word of God, because we want to listen to something else, or we have our own idea of doing things. And so we too may struggle with that at times. Let me share with you my own personal story, a time that I struggled with listening to the Word of God. When I left seminary, first call was in a rural congregation. We had a parsonage. We lived in the middle of a cornfield. And I remember when the two couples who came to help load us up and take us to our first call, we were sitting at Applebee's after we had loaded everything up, and my wife was asking questions about what she could or could not do in the parsonage. And it didn't take very long before a whole list of rules and policies came out. What we discovered was the previous tenants didn't do a very good job of caring for the parsonage, and now some rules and policies have been put into place, and we were being punished for someone else that had done other things. They were excited by the fact that I didn't smoke, because that was an issue. They were excited about the fact that we didn't have any pets, because that apparently was an issue. But when it came to actually, could we put things on the wall? No, we couldn't do that, because the previous tenants had put a lot of holes in the wall, apparently. So we lived with this, but eventually I got another call to go to the district office in Nebraska, or there I served as an executive, and this was the first time that we could have our own home. Now, my wife was more excited about this than I was. I liked the fact of living in a parsonage and calling up the trustees anytime something went wrong and having them come and fix it. And now I was all on my own. She liked the fact that for the first time, she could put as many holes in the walls as she wanted and didn't have to worry about a policy or the rules or feel guilty about even doing it. So one of the first rooms that we wanted to attend to was the boys' room. So I have two boys, and at the time, they were little. I think Joshua, my oldest, is probably like in first grade at the time. And so we painted the wall blue, and then she wanted to put some border up. And so we went and bought the border. The boys came with us. They picked out these airplanes that were shooting at each other. And we put the border way up on the top because we didn't want them to tear it down. I mean, border is expensive. I was surprised how much money it cost to buy just a little strip of thing that you're going to just put along the wall. It was just a little strip that went across the top. Very expensive. And so we're trying to put this border up there, and it's not sticking. It's not staying. And I'm like, we're wasting a lot of border here. This is costing us money. And what we didn't realize till later, because we talked to someone, that you have to let the paint cure first before you can actually put the border up there. So we wasted all this border and had to go get more. We finally get it up there, and it looked great. It looked wonderful. And we finally then put all the furniture in there, and the boys had their room, and we moved on to another room. Well, I come home from work one night, and my wife meets me at the door, and she says to me, "Now, don't get angry." I'm already angry, and I don't even know what I'm not supposed to be angry about. Well, I stomp up the stairs, and I go into the boys' room. And what we had not anticipated was that we put a bunk bed in that room. So they got up on top of the bunk bed, and they tore off as much as they could reach of that border. I was not happy. And so they're standing there, I'm standing there in the room, and I launch into this great sermon about how terrible they are, how terrible this is, how much this cost us to put this border up here. And of course, I said a lot of words that a godly pastor should not say. And I just went off. I blew up because I was not happy. My anger just let loose. And I don't know how long this went on, but eventually I got it all out and I gave them the look. And my oldest at the time, like first grade, Joshua, he looks up to me and he says, "Dad, I think you have some things to repent of." Now, in my head, because I'm an introvert, you know, so in my head, I'm thinking this. I have some things to repent of? No, you have some things. And didn't you just listen to the sermon I gave you about how you need to repent? I have some things to repent of. All right, so in this moment, there are some choices that you get to make, right? And you can choose a variety of different paths in which you want to go down. One option A, is to have the attitude of a stiff-necked person. To have the attitude of the Sanhedrin and to say, "Nope, I don't want to hear that word of God. I'm going to put my fingers in my ears and I'm going to continue to yell and scream at the top of my lungs until you hear what I am saying." So that's one of the options. You could do that. You could get so angry and so revved up again about the whole thing that is the option in which you choose. And by the way, many of us end up choosing that option. I mean, just think of the last time you were in a moment like that. What did you choose to do? How did you handle it? Or maybe you've been the receiving end of some of those moments where we do not want to hear the word of God, and instead what we do is we put our fingers in our ears so we cannot hear it, so it has no impact upon our heart. So that's what it means when it says uncircumcised hearts and ears, is that it cannot hear the word of God. Something's getting in the way of that happening. So we put our fingers in our ears so we can't hear it. It can't affect our hearts. And in that way, you see, we can worship whatever we want. We can listen to whatever we want. And we don't have to listen to the word of God. So that's an option. In fact, the Israelites themselves did this on many occasions, putting their fingers in the ears, not listening to what God's word has to say, and following their own way. And the first time you get the word stiff neck happens in chapter 32, which is what's going on. They built this golden calf, an idol, all right? They're worshiping it rather than worshiping the God that they should be worshiping. And it is the Lord himself who says to Moses, "I have seen these people, and they are a stiff-necked people. They are idolatrous. They worship another God." And you see, this is a first commandment issue. Whenever we worship another God, listen to another God, allow something else rather than the word of God to have its way with our heart, well, we become stiff-necked. We become idolaters because we're not letting that word of God come into our ears and affect our hearts. Idolatry is void of God's grace. Idolatry is void of God's truth. So I was on the verge of following down this very dark and destructive path of more sinning, of not listening to God's word, but instead just listening to my own, putting my fingers in my ears and not wanting to have to listen to it all or do anything about it, because I didn't like the word that was being spoken to me. And there may be times when you also struggle with the same thing, when you don't like the word of God that is being said to you, and you like to listen to something else because you think it meets your desires or wants better. In ministry, there are times when you will also be challenged to listen to other voices and other words. I remember working once with a pastor and a deaconess, and they were in conflict, of course, so I was sent in to try to help and to assist with the situation. Part of the problem had to do a little bit, at least one layer of it, had to do with their personality differences. They were extremely different from each other. And instead of figuring out how to work it out and do ministry together, they decided to use this as the reason why they hated each other and then tried to get other people on their side. And so this is kind of some of the issues they had. Is pastor was, in regards to personality, a very high I or parrot. So he loved being with people. He loved interacting with people. He was hardly ever in the office because he was always out interacting with people, but his staff never saw him. There's issues that came up that needed to be decided, and he was never there. So they would make the decision on their own, and then he would get mad because they made it without him, and this is how it went. The deaconess was someone who was very much an owl or a sea of personality. So for her, she was concerned about everything being accurate, everything being just right, the details of things were important. People trusted her because when she said she was going to do something, it got done, and it got done very well. So the elders decided that they were going to talk to both of them and ask them kind of what's going on. So they met with them separately and said, we understand there's this issue between the two of you, so tell us a little bit about what is going on. Now, let's stop right there for a moment, all right? This is a moment where there are different paths that you can choose to go down. And the dark, destructive path of gossip, slander, making assumptions, sinful labeling, sinful name-calling, and even triangulation are all lumped together, things that they could have done and things that they actually ended up doing. You see, there's going to be these moments in our lives where these things happen, where you can end up sliding down the slope and choosing to follow this dark, destructive, sinful path. It happens. It happened to me right away when I walked upstairs and walked into that room. I slipped right down into that path, you see. It's so easy to go there. But instead, I took a few deep breaths. I did some psychological breathing, which is a first article thing, by the way. It's okay to do that. And I thought to myself, well, maybe Josh is right. Maybe I did sin. Maybe I sinned when I yelled at him, when I was angry at him, when I said those words that I should not have said. Maybe so. And if I were to confess that sin to him and repent of it, how would that change things? If I were to address that log that was in my eye, how would that change things? And just think about this for a moment. You're going to go a lot of different variety of places to serve. How does it change things if you actually start living out the faith in which you say that you believe in? How would that change things? And so I said to Josh, I said, you know, you're right, I have sinned. I got angry, I said things I shouldn't said, I said words I shouldn't said, I said, will you forgive me? And he did. He forgave me, and I forgave him, and in that moment of great dark, destructive sin, the light of Christ was shining, and both of us were filled with God's grace and God's truth. And it changed everything. Everything changed as a result of that moment. If you go out speaking, teaching, caring for people with the Word of God, and not putting your fingers in your ears and listening to other things, but actually listening to what God's Word has to say and let it have its way with your heart, and you live that out, watch and see how it will impact you personally, how it'll impact the congregation that you're serving, how it will impact your community, how it will impact your family, your friends. It impacts everything, and it changes everything. No longer was sin standing between me and my son. Now, Christ was standing there, and that changed everything. You can go forth with your fingers in your ears and say, I've learned all this stuff, and now it doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to do whatever I want. But in doing that, you're not paying attention to what God's Word has to say. And His Word is very important to us. And remember what I said earlier, receiving this diploma, this theological diploma today, what it's saying is that you're going to take those fingers out of your ears. You're going to let the Word of God have its way with your heart because you actually believe the Word of God. And you believe what the confessions say about that Word of God. And if you believe it, you teach it, you preach it, you use it in care situations, and as you do that, you watch and you see how God's Word changes everything as Christ now is standing between you and God and between you and your neighbor. Watch and see how it has an impact. It's amazing. And I could stand up here for 2 more hours and tell you all kinds of wonderful stories of how I have seen this happen. And how it's taken place, and I can also tell you all kinds of terrible stories how it didn't happen and how they weren't listening to God's Word and instead were listening to some other voice or some other thing because they had their fingers in their ears and yelling and screaming at the top of their voices. Go. Go as the baptized children of God who are full of God's grace and full of God's truth and speak the only word that brings life and salvation to all people, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.